How do you take social media and collaborative web tools out of the luxury category and make them integral parts of your agency's communication strategy?
Well, Francis, that's a great question, and I think you just have to think back to back when people were saying the same thing about email and other tools that we now take for granted. So what we believe is that communication tools are meant to help us find the information that we need whenever and wherever. And oftentimes that information is not in some gigantic database somewhere. It's actually in people's heads. And the best way to find something in people's heads is through social connections. So we've developed a whole suite of very easy to use intuitive tools that have their homolog out on the outside, things like Diplopedia and communities that are based on multi-author blogs. We have Corridor, which looks a lot and looks and feels a lot like LinkedIn. We also have an ideation platform for ideas to be generated and refined. And we're working on something that we're really excited about now that that will kind of integrate all of these and allow one place for you to find all the feeds of information from both inside and outside, and then to share and to have a conversation around.
Did you start with a list of the possible tools and figure out ways to use them, or did you start from the premise of let's figure out how we can connect people and let's figure out how they can potentially connect with each other and then use the tools that would make those connections possible?
Well, we did, again, a great question, and what we tried to do was kind of think of a continuum of information. So you have that evolving persistent knowledge, which is often, in the old days was the formalized letter that was signed by the person of authority and was pinned up on a bulletin board or put up as a PDF document somewhere. Well, that began to become stale pretty quickly, and yet it was tedious and difficult to get the new one put up. So you had authoritative misinformation. What we did with Diplopedia was make it possible for anybody, not anonymously, but anybody to make a change and improve and update that information. And that rapidly has grown to be the go-to source of information for people in the State Department with over 16,000 articles, 5,000 active contributors, and more than 35,000 page views a week.
I would imagine in an environment like the State Department, where historically it's been a top-down, driven information distribution system, this has been somewhat of a culture change, not just a policy or process change.
You nailed it. It really, and I think our trick is to show that there's a new paradigm for success. The old paradigm was I've got a secret and my power is that I'm one of a few people who have information. The new paradigm is my information is only as good as the network I can articulate it across. And the tools that allow me to develop and maintain that network are social. And we have a whole suite of these behind our firewall, so it's safe and secure to use. And I can reach out to any one of the 60,000 State Department employees around the world and find them because of these tools.
Richard Boley's director of State Department's Office of E-Diplomacy and a finalist for a Service to America medal. It's interesting that comment that you just made, Richard, is really changed the information possession dynamic, not just in government, I think, but all over the world. And that is, it used to be I was valuable because of the stuff that I had in my head. Now I'm valuable because I have that stuff in my head and other people know it because I share it with them, not because I keep it locked up in there and nobody else knows it.
Right. No, making serendipity routine is kind of the watchword now. It's rather than trying to, have this need to know where you keep the information siloed and buttoned down. We saw in 9/11 that was crippling to us, and we needed to find better ways to make information discoverable by our colleagues, not just the people who we think should have known it, but the people who I self-identify as needing that information, and that oftentimes it's at the boundaries of silos where really interesting things happen and things emerge, and we need to make that possible.
Is your background primarily as a foreign service officer or as an IT professional or some combination thereof? Because it sounds like you kind of have a foot in both camps as far as your level of knowledge and use of these tools.
So I'm definitely not a technologist. I was an English major in college, but I did way back in the day, work briefly helping to launch the initial Macintosh and did spend some time in Silicon Valley. So I've always been, I've seen the power of technology, although I would never qualify myself as a technologist.
So, but you do have then, it sounds like you have a feel for technology to be able to apply it to the experience that you have in Foreign Service.
Right. No, it's, and again, thinking about how, you know, what is the possible? What's the next thing that we can do? Who, you know, what is being done somewhere else, and how can we do that as well? I think the real pride of our team, and again, this is a certainly a team award. We have a phenomenal group here in e-diplomacy, and you know, our deputy CIO and CIO have been very supportive. But the you know, the real kind of trick is how do you make this information you know, work for, you know, for not just the people who are love technology, the digital natives, but for people, you know, for whom this is, you know, it's alien to them, and to show the value of this. And again, I kind of jokingly said to begin with, you know, there were the people years ago when we first launched the, you know, email internally. We said, oh, you know, why do we want email? Who's going to approve those emails going back? You know, how? I don't want these people to have a direct channel among themselves. And now you couldn't pry that email away from people. So, you know, here's an organization that kept Wang computers on life support because of our large installed base after they went bankrupt. And yet here in the use of social software within an organization, you know, we've been identified as a leader, not just in government, but among other organizations, you know, throughout the U.S.
Well, Rich-